CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness. Mikael Mir's financial consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. And today is the last Friday of the month, which means if you listen to my shows, and I hope you have been, and I really hope you've been following Tom and my conversation on relationships, because we're going to explore another topic of discussion about his relationships book that he's writing, or at least a huge piece of work that he's working on that I find is just fascinating. It sort of started with a conversation we had, I believe it was around, I guess, the New Year's resolutions, or it was in around Christmas time in relationships, but it has spurred on a lot of very interesting work, and I'm always excited to have Tom. I have Thomas Campbell with me. You can find out more information about Tom. He has a series, a trilogy of books called My Big Toe. So his website is mybigtoe.com, but it has hyphens in between. So my-big-toe.com. You can also Google his name, Tom Campbell or Thomas Campbell, and connect in with his YouTube, because he has hours and hours of information that he can you can find out about quantum physics and raising consciousness and all the things that he's been working on and writing about and doing workshops on. So it's all there and it's all available for free. You can even get Google Books has his trilogy that you can get as well. So do check him out and take advantage of all the information that he's offering out there. So once again, welcome back, Tom.
Well, thank you, Lori. It's always fun to be here with you. We always have a good time.
We do. So you have just been going nonstop with this. I love this idea for the book. I think it's so fundamental, because I think we don't realize just how much of our lives have been primal or genetic, or, you know, it's something that we maybe don't think about so much. And so we've done a couple shows already, and I don't want to have to rehash some of the really big points. So I thought we'd go to something that is different, and I think a topic on its own, which is the cultural consequences of having the primal male and the primal female and our relationships.
Okay. You know, you mentioned that people don't think of us humans as having instincts. And what we're really talking about when I'm talking about these genetic, you know, hardwired genetic programs that are running in our heads, I'm talking about, you know, our instincts. And we think, well, yeah, animals, you know, cats and dogs and birds all have instincts. But people, you know, we don't have instincts. And that's not the case. You know, we have programs running in our genetics that nudge us. Now, that, you know, we're not, well, just like critters. They have instincts, but they don't have to do what their instincts say. You know, we don't either. We have free will. We can always, you know, ignore our instincts, and we should be responsible for whatever it is we do. You know, this idea, well, you know, the devil made me do it, or, you know, my instincts made me do it. That's not a good excuse. But the same sort of instinctual nudging, I guess, or power or programs that run, I've worked at it from the top down, which means I've started with the basic theory of evolution, looked at humanity and where it was and what it was doing for the first million years or so, and then derived something about our instincts, and particularly about relationship and the male-female interaction, because after all, evolution is about our ability to survive and procreate. So survive and procreate is about relationship and about sexuality. So that's why these instincts then turning mainly around our survival and sexuality and our relationships. Now, I found that there's another set of books. I wish I could remember the author's name, but the books are Female Brain and The Male Brain. And it's a lady who has several degrees in several fields, but she works from the bottom up. See, I'm working from the top down, from the big picture theory, you know, starting with evolution. That's the top level, and then looking at the logical consequences flowing down. She starts at the bottom, like most scientists do, and takes measurements. So she's using MRIs, and she's using clinical, research, and she's using other kinds of, EEG and brain scans and that sort of thing. And she's done the measurements and come to the same set of conclusions from the bottom up. But her conclusions are more specific and tied to her research. When you work from the bottom up, all you can say is, you know, these 800 people that we studied, you know, had these kinds of responses, whatever, and then you kind of make an inference that that kind of represents the rest of the population and so on. So science from the bottom up is not as expansive and doesn't lead you to all the ideas that you get when you start with the big picture and then do the logical ramifications going down. But anyway, if you were to get these books and if you go to Amazon and put in The Female Brain and The Male Brain, up will come these two books, and you will see that all of the things that I talk about, all of the things that I say, she verifies from her science and the research and the CAT scans and the brain studies and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So everything in her books, let me put it a different way. There is nothing in either of her books that conflicts with what I'm writing. So we're all getting along just fine. That's good news, right? There's no big food fights going on between me and the scientists that are working from the bottom up. So it really is verifiable from basic neurophysiology research.
Nice.
And the same things turn up. So that's, I just thought that'd be an interesting thing to start. So mine
Absolutely.
Is mine's a top down, but the bottom up comes to the same set of conclusions. It's just that my conclusions can be a lot broader because I'm starting from the big picture. So I talk about kind of the issues of feminism and equality in the workplace and all these other things that have direct logical ramifications from our instincts. And she doesn't go there. She can't get to that because she's working from the bottom up. And the bottom up doesn't roll up to that general level. It stays with the specifics. It stays with the urges and the things that people do and how these work at an instinctual level. So she's doing the physiology, the brain mapping, if you will. And my work is just basically logic, starting from a few basic principles and then working downward. So that's kind of an introduction. I everybody who's listening to this who kind of wonders, is there anything really corroborates that? Well, there is.
Wait until we start getting into, how many relationships actually start with the male. But before we get there, because honestly, as we spoke before the show, I mean, I think there are a lot more women because our focus is on relationships, and we've talked about this in the other two shows. You know, our primary focus is on the inner world and relationships, where men's is on the outer world. So it's far more likely that women are going to want to have higher conscious relationships, but you bring out some fascinating points. But let's start with the two facts about the cultural consequences that you mentioned, which is one, we're male dominated, and two, mostly we're working from our fears and beliefs. We're fear and belief driven, so we have lots of ego instead of from love.
Yes, that's the case. If you think now about evolution and where we've come from, and that our evolution has taken place over a million or so years, and that what we consider kind of modern times, or even just historical times, you know, the last 4,000 years, or even the last 6,000 years, that's just 6,000, it's just an eye blink. in terms of millions of years of evolution. So all of our kind of recorded history from the time people started writing documents that we can dig up now and read, from that time forward up to our very own, has been just a very, very short time compared to the time that our species has been evolving. So our programs represent that million years, and it represents the last, 10,000 as well, but mostly what it represents is what most of the time was, and that is people under very harsh times with very short lifespans, living in kind of a violent culture, if you will, and a culture of scarcity. So that's kind of the way it was. And the way we developed, the way we evolved in order to deal with that is that the males in general, like you say, took care of the outside work. That means they did security, they did the protection, because level of, these are terms that we've used before, so I won't define them here, but the quality of consciousness was not very high, which means the easiest way to get what you want was to take it from somebody else who had it. So there was lots of strife and warring and, hungry critters to deal with. So security and protection was important. Otherwise, the species would not survive, because it takes a long time to not only the gestation to have a child, but then that child is helpless for a long, long time. And while the female is pregnant, at least the last half of that, she's a little more helpless than she was before. And taking care of, not one child, but probably, as many as, you happen to have, which would probably, I don't know what, 5, 10, 12, probably had lots of children. They probably didn't survive as frequently as children do now, but there was no birth control. There probably, for most of that million years, there wasn't probably a very good understanding of even where the children came from, So under that environment, you needed the survival skills of the man, protecting the female and the child so that the child would grow up and be able to have children of its own. That's how the species survives. And you had to have the female then, who was not only having the children, but taking care of the children and taking care of the man as well, as the man took care of the woman and the man took care of the children. That's kind of interesting how that works. The first kind of priority of the man is to take care of the tribe, because without the tribe, everybody dies. The second priority of his is to take care of the woman. The third priority is to take care of the child, whereas the woman's first priority is to take care of the child, and the second priority is to take care of the man. So that's kind of the way we evolved. So if we look at that, then we find that our basic mindset or our worldview is one of the males are in charge of security. They are male dominant because the issues are survival issues. Okay, if the issues were relationship or let's all learn to work together issues, then it wouldn't be the security function that turns to, that ends up as the top most important function, because without that security function, nobody survives. Species doesn't go on. So we live in this mindset of there's never enough. Getting food is difficult. Getting shelter is difficult. Just surviving is difficult. So we live in the sense of scarcity. That's our fundamental attitude toward reality, is that the things we need are scarce, and it's hard to get them, and we have to compete and fight for them.
Okay, we need to unfortunately go to our first break, but I think this is a good ending to at least the first part of why we're more male-dominated and certainly why we're more fear-driven. Join us when we get back from break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Tom Campbell with me. You can find out more information about Tom at mybigtoe.com with hyphens in between, so my-big-toe.com. And we're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Coming up Tuesday on New Sky Radio at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Sound Effects. Explore the effects of sound on the body and environment with sound therapist Doreen Davis. Coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern, it's Radio to Thrive By with the Dr. Pat Radio Show. At 3 p.m. Eastern, join Laura Lee in the Spirit Salon. Coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern, it's the Colette Baron Reed Show. Join Colette for her fun, fast-paced show all about you. Be sure to call in early. The phones are hot. Coming up at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, explore your career options with career coach Caroline. At 6 p.m. Eastern, tap into your moment of change with Sherry Gaba and Kathleen O'Connor. Shea Parker introduces us all to today's top metaphysical specialists on Metaphysical Minds at 7 p.m. Shea, the best of the best American psychics, take to the air at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At 9 p.m. Eastern, grab your psychic cup of coffee with Kelly Sutliff. Step into the enchanted world of Monty Farber at 10 p.m. Eastern. And at 11 p.m., it's the Zodiac Girls. So sexy, so cool. Tonight on New Sky Radio. For more on these shows and all New Sky Radio shows, check out newskyradio.com/show. New Sky Radio and radio.com. Powered by CBS Radio.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back to Intuitive Soul and Friends. And today, of course, we have Tom with us, and we've been talking about relationships, and specifically, we started talking about cultural consequences, where we're in a male-dominated society, and we're primarily fear and belief-driven. So let's continue with that.
Okay. Where I was is that kind of establishing that our viewpoint for most of this evolution has been one of scarcity, one of fear, one of a hard time to stay alive and get by. And we have that mindset with us now, even though now that's really not true. We don't live in that same scary environment that we did then. Our life is not threatened, you know, on a daily basis. And we've moved from scarcity to abundance in at least a large part of the world. Certainly not all the world. Some of the world is still struggling, you know, daily to stay alive in a situation of scarcity. But there's a lot of us who are not. And we need to make that shift from a viewpoint of scarcity and from our emphasis on security and fear and that sort of thing to one of abundance and our emphasis on getting along, cooperating, helping each other, that sort of thing. So kind of a male-dominant view, if you will, because the protection and the accumulation of resources, you know, is the sort of the male job. So as long as we're in that mind frame, then we'll end up with male-dominant culture. When we shift, and the time is you know, if not already here, you know, maybe it's been here a while, that we're really not in that same kind of mindset anymore. So it's really time to start making the shift to other worldviews based on cooperation, relationship, getting along. And if we do that, then we'll find that the male dominant and our male dominance factor in our culture will just melt away. It's there because of our attitude, and it's a holdover from millions of years of evolution. We're hardwired with our instincts to see the world that way, and we need to start changing that.
I found it really interesting when you were talking about how women, because we've been so male-dominated, how we're not validated. We're not fully validated anyway. And so that has created a lot of insecurities and fears all on its own.
Yes, that's right. If you're a female and you're in a male-dominated society, so where the male ethic dominates, let's put it that way, then it's really hard for you to see yourself as a whole person. You know, the idea that our culture has of females is that they are people who provide services to males and children. You know, well, that's not the whole thing that it means to be a woman. You know, that's just about her expected services rather than her quality, you know, her sense of value to the big picture. So females growing up and living in a male-dominant society have a problem. They're not as valued. Their roles are not as well defined as they would be if it were not a male-dominant society. And as a result, they tend to have less sense of security, less sense of who they are and what they're about and what they should be doing and how they should, and how they should be. It's more of a guessing game trying to figure that out because our culture doesn't really define that very well. Now, it defines the male role very clearly, but the female role in a male-dominant society is left kind of, undefined in a large extent. So women do tend to have less security about who they are than the men do.
Right, and so, I mean, we had this huge breakthrough in the 60s and 70s where, you know, we had women's lib and we had, you know, a very strong feminist culture kind of be created from that. But really, all the changes made that happened was really just trying to make us equal instead of really valuing who we are as our inherent being.
Exactly. What happened was that it's like this idea of being equal focused on being the same. And that's unfortunate because men and women are not the same. But it's like, well, you're equal if you treat me the same as you treat men. You know, if you see me in the same way as you see men, that makes me equal. But that isn't a good place to go. That's encouraging women to be imitation men, and they're not. You know, women should be valued for being themselves and who and what they are, not for how well they can approximate a man. You see, that's a problem. So the people who were initiating that women's movement, they had some very valid points. You know, there was some things that where women were not equal under the law. You know, they didn't get paid as well. Well, they probably still don't get paid as well. You know, they didn't have the same opportunities as males did, and that needed to be redressed. And in that sense, you know, the sense of equality, we want the same rights and the same protection under the law as men. Well, that was a very good thing. But then it turned into, you know, the way we get equality is by, you know, imitating men. So you go into the workplace, and females at the workplace are basically required to, you know, fill male roles. The fact that they have children and families and those things, well, that's, you know, just leave that at home. You know, you don't bring that to work with you. And hell no, we're not going to offer, you know, daycare at, you know, our factory or our, you know, office or that sort of thing. You know, men don't need that. You know, why should women need that? So we're not treating women the way they should be treated. You know, what we need to do is make the job more compatible with the woman, not make the woman more compatible with the job. You see, and we've done the opposite. We say, okay, woman, you need to be compatible with this job, and this is a man's job, you know, and this is the way men do it, so that's the way you have to do it. But we are, you know, that's the male-dominant society, looking at it from the male perspective, and it's undervaluing the female. So I think that's what you were referring to, I believe. Am I on the track there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's fascinating that we've put so much emphasis. I mean, so many women are trying to either, you know, get the respect of men, which I think falls under the fact that it's a male-dominated society, and we do feel, insecure as women because we have to try and fight in a man's world or try and be in a man's world when, you know, there's lots of people that are choosing, yet, you know, as soon as they feel they can choose that, they don't feel like they're of same value.
Yeah. Well, forcing a female to choose between having a good job and taking care of her baby and her family is not a choice that a balanced culture could tolerate. If we had a balanced culture rather than a male-dominant culture, that would not be tolerated. We would understand that a female taking care of her babies and her family and, you know, interacting in her relationships is what she does. That's core. And it's not that women shouldn't have jobs. They need to have jobs, too. Not only does the economy depend on it these days, but in order to get by, you know, it's required in many cases. It means that, again, that the job needs to be made more compatible with the woman, not the woman compatible with the job. So that's kind of where we're headed anyway, where we hope we're headed as we get over our worldview, our genetic sense of this being a problem of security and scarcity to one of abundance and getting along. So that's, yeah, you're completely right there.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. We have to go over our second break. We may as well go now while we're in mid-thought. And you're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. If you want more information on Tom, please Google his name, Tom Campbell or Thomas Campbell, and find out more about all the different offerings he has, especially on YouTube. Lots of free video. You can also join his forum where there's lots of activity about, you know, different questions that, and I imagine that there's a lot right now on relationship stuff since this has been your focus. And you can get there from his site, which is mybigtoe.com with hyphens in between. So my-big-toe.com. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Feng Shui for the soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. NewSkyRadio.com.
Some kind of magic happens late at night. when the moon smiles down at me and bathes me in its light. I fell asleep beneath you in the tall blades of grass. When I woke, the world was new. I never had to ask. It's a brand new day. The sun is shining. It's a brand new day. For the first time in such a long, long time, I know I'll be okay.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Intuitive Soul and Friends, and today I have Tom. Tom's with us every last Friday of the month, and we've been talking about relationships for the past couple months. I'm really excited about this topic because I think it makes us think about some of the things that I think we don't like to think about, especially in the spiritual community. We don't like to think that we have these instincts. We like to believe about free choice, but when we look at our relationships and we look at the culture, we really are, not necessarily stuck. I think we do have room to move, and I think that's what we want to talk about is, how do we redress this? How do we become, more gender balanced and fully appreciated?
Okay, well, I would like to make the comment first on what you said. We always have free choice. We do have free will. We can always make choices, and it is our responsibility to make those choices. But that doesn't mean that we also don't have instincts, and these instincts come as urges, if you will, or nudgings. We get this sense that we need to do this, or we need to do that, or it comes to us to be a certain way, but we don't have to follow that. We have free will. We can make choices that are different than that if we wish. And the way we change this, the way we get out of it is we need to grow up. And growing up, I mean, in the bigger picture sense. I mean, we're all adults, right? So we think we're grown up. But what I mean by growing up is that, we have fear. We tend to be fear-based, and we tend to be belief-based, and those are our big problems. We need to let all that fear go and let all those beliefs go And if we do that, then all the ego goes with it, and so do all the, you know, those expectations, those sorts of things, all just disappear, and what's left is love, is caring about other. That's what's left. So that's where we need to go. We need to change ourselves, and the way we get there isn't by, you know, passing laws and decreeing that, you know, everybody shall be nice from now on. That, you know, that doesn't work. We have to change the quality of our consciousness. And to do that, we have to do it individually. You can only change yourself. You can't change anybody else. We can't force people to change. It's just like when I say growing up, it's like growing up. You can't make somebody grow up. They have to grow up from the inside out, not from the outside in. We don't grow up because somebody tells us, you know, how to act. It's because we grow up. We change from the inside. We become a different person. We grow up. And that's what has to happen. We, as far as consciousness goes, we're like a bunch of preschool toddlers, you know, toddling about in this virtual reality that we call our physical universe. And we need to spend a little time finding and understanding the big picture. Then we need to look at our fears, find what they are, and get rid of them. And then the same with our beliefs. If we do that and we grow up, then even though you can only change yourself, you can influence lots of people. And if you are grown up, if you do come from love, you influence a lot of people that way. People look at you and you see that you're happy, that things work out for you, and that your life is great, you're successful, you understand things better than others. And they want to emulate that. So you become a kind of a point of light that grows and gathers light around it. So what we need to do is grow up. And we can say become, you know, more spiritual, if you will, or have a higher quality of consciousness, or in my techie way, you know, lower the entropy of your consciousness. So that's really the solution. As we do that, and now that we don't live in a place where the, you know, the Huns are constantly, you know, coming over the hill with their spears, you know, ready to take everything they see, that's not how we live anymore. So we need to realize that that part of our instinctual programming doesn't really apply so much. We need to look around and realize that there is abundance. There is a lot that we have. Now, we don't see it that way. We see it in terms of scarcity. So when we see abundance, what that means is we hoard. We want to grab it all for ourselves because we have the scarcity thing. So suddenly, things become, there's a lot of competition over the resources. But it wouldn't have to be that way if we had a bigger perspective, if we realized that actually for at least half the world, maybe more than half, scarcity is not the big issue anymore. It's the quality of life, not whether life will continue. It's not whether we're going to starve to death, but it's the quality of the life that we have here. And that should be our focus, on the quality, not on the survival aspects of it. But old trends die hard. You know, we keep seeing things. And again, this is the male-dominant society, keeps seeing things in terms of struggle, war, conflict. Solutions tend to be military, tend to be by force, that sort of thing. That's because that's our worldview. It's our mindset. And we have to outgrow that. We have to transcend that old programming and start generating some new programming. I mean, we are still evolving. It's not like that's evolution is a done deal. And we can evolve much more quickly than people might think. Yes, it took a million years to get us here, but it doesn't have to take us a million years to change. We can change it rather rapidly because, one, the mind leads and the body follows. You know, we can change that DNA and genetic structure in, three or four generations is all it would take to do that. But we would have to do some pretty big growing before we would have the capability of making that sort of change.
Yeah. It is... I find it really fascinating. I think, you know, the more we get caught up in the fear, the more we look outside ourselves. So the more male dominated we are, because that's really focused on the outside world, the more we get can't really, I mean, we can, but we need to shift inside because, as you said, none of the change happens outside in. It all happens inside out.
Exactly.
So we all have to move into a place where we can move inside, where we can, you know, find that core essence or be that core person, whether it's happiness or love or whatever it is that you're truly looking for. But we have to start there and stop looking to validate it outside of ourselves, but really just focus on the inside.
Exactly. You see, we come from a history of having to deal with the outside first, because if we don't deal with that outside, then, you know, we all die and the species fails. It doesn't go on because there's all this threat from the outside. So that's where our historical, that's where we've been. And now we need to start making a transition, you know, away from that. That's not the way it is anymore. But yes, the solutions now are inside solutions. First, you have to have security. You can't be in threat of, violent death, you know, imminent all the time, and, you know, sit down and cross your legs and, you know, be meditating on love. It doesn't work. But we have created now a place that could be a whole lot more peaceful than it is, and it's as unpeaceful as it is because we're still tied to this old way of viewing the world. And yes, the solutions have to be inside solutions. It's about the quality of us, of our consciousness, or you might say the quality of our spirit. And that's where we need to move to. That's what we need to understand. People need to come to a realization that all this focus on the enemy and what's wrong and, you know, the conspiracy that's terrible and all the fear mongering and all the fear based information that comes to us in our culture. I mean, everything is fear based because fear is a handle by which we can be controlled. Who uses fear? Well, politicians, they can manipulate us if we're frightened. People who are selling something, you know, marketers, salesmen,
media,
evangelicals, you know, the media, people who have something, a point of view to sell or a product to sell, they all realize that fear is a way to manipulate people. Fear is a way to get people to, you know, come to see it your way. So fear is a big, rings the bell at the cash register. You know, why should you buy this whatever? You know, why should you buy this product? Because without it, nobody will like you. You know, without it, you won't be pretty. Without of it, your hair won't be shiny. You know, without it, the big guy will kick sand in your face. You know, this sort of thing. So it's all just playing on our fears. Mothers, you should buy this junk food for your children because, you know, without it, you know, they won't be healthy.
Yeah.
That is what the commercials tell us. That's what our politicians tell us. So we have that all the time. You know what? That's what your boss tells you. If you don't get this right at work, if you don't get this contract, if you don't, you know, get this solution and do this job, then our company's going to shrink and you're going to lose your job. And all of that is supposed to be motivational to get you to work hard, but it's just more fear. And it isn't very productive, all in all. So we live in this fear-based culture. And we have to outgrow it one at a time. And people just have to get to that point that they say, this is not fun. You know, everything, you know, I got ulcers, you know, I have problems with my relationship, you know, nothing seems to work, I'm unhappy. Why? Why does it have to be this hard to get by in this reality? You know, why is everybody suffering? And then we realize the reason everybody's suffering is we're all constantly shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, it's all self-induced suffering. We're suffering because we're focused on the wrong things. The way this reality works is that stuff happens and we get to deal with it. And how we deal with it is what's important. Do we deal with it with love, with caring, or do we deal with it, you know, with ego and fear and our beliefs? If we deal with it well, then we grow up. That's what makes us grow up. But most of us aren't really paying much attention to how we deal with it. We're paying attention to the stuff happens in. we don't want stuff to happen except the stuff we want to happen. So we're constantly manipulating things to be the way we want them. You know, we manipulate our spouses, we manipulate our children, you know, all the marketers and politicians manipulate us, and it's all about trying to make it happen the way you want it. So
with
we're
that,
focused.
We have to go to break. Sorry. This is our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tom Campbell. Please check him out. You can find out more information. Just Google his name, Tom Campbell or Thomas Campbell. Check out his YouTube site where he has hours of information. And go to his website, mybigtoe.com, with hyphens in between. So my-big-toe.com. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And we have Thomas Campbell here. We've been talking about relationships. We've been talking about it for the last couple shows. We know it's a controversial topic. We know that there are people that are going to disagree. But, you know, this is moving us from a place of fear into a place of love. And if you're not seeing that, please re-listen to some of the shows, because that is exactly what we're doing. We're trying to get us out of fear and moving towards love. Now, the one part that even started this whole entire conversation was when you brought up a way for men to treat women that would allow us to grow up. And I honestly thought, because you know, women are the ones that focus on relationships, that we're more in the internal world, that we would be the ones that would have to create the change. But you brought up a interesting point, so let's talk about that.
Okay, well, what I had said is that, so here we are, and your question earlier was, you know, how do we grow up? How do we get out of this? How do we change it? And one way to change it, I mean, there's lots of things that we can do to change it. There isn't ever just one path. There's lots of paths that lead to the right place. But one way to change it is that realize that the first thing that really has to change is we have to let go of ego. Okay, now, most of us are in relationships. Most of us have our significant other. So a good way to change it is to begin by fixing or making better the relationship. And this is based on the idea that most of our relationships are a combination of love and need. We tend to fall in need every bit as much, if not more, than we fall in love. And our relationships tend to be contracts or, you know, negotiated agreements. You act like this and do these things, and I'll act like that and do those things, and, you know, we'll meet each other's needs. Well, an arrangement to meet each other's needs is not, you know, the optimal basis for a relationship. That's the basis for a contract, and love is not a contract. And you cannot create love by, you know, writing it into a contract. That's not the way it is. It has to come from the inside. And based on what I said earlier, that love is what happens when you get rid of the ego and fear, I thought that a good way for some of the guys who were interested in growing and getting rid of their fear and ego and beliefs, and they say, well, what can I do? How can I get rid of this fear and this ego? Well, one way is for the guys to let go of that ego within their relationship with their woman, okay, with their significant others. And now we're talking the male-female relationship. So I said, guys, you know, here's what you need to do to let go of your ego. First, you have to be committed to letting go of that ego. It has to be something you really want to do. That means becoming love. And if you're going to be in a relationship based on love, then it's not about you. It's about her. It's about other. So it's not what you're going to get. It's what you have to give. And your job then is to make your woman happy. So if this is what kind of startled people, I said, so if there's a disagreement or an argument, then she's right. If there's a problem and there's some kind of issue that has to be dealt with, then the way you deal with it isn't by convincing her that you're right, but it's by doing what she wants. Make her happy. Now, by that, I didn't mean you become her puppy dog. You still have to be the guy in charge. You have to do these things, not because you're told to do them, not because she says, oh, what I need now is you to, you know, rub my back, you know, and then you have to do that. That's not what I was talking about at all. That you have to see that a back rub would be a nice thing to give. And you give that just because you want to, because you are coming from love. And this is a way to help you get rid of the ego. Become love. Make her happy in whatever she wants. It's not a matter of whether you're right and she's wrong. It's that you want to make her happy. Right and wrong isn't that important most of the time. I mean, is it right or wrong that you paint the room or that you, you know, pick up your socks? It's not a matter of right and wrong. What makes her happy? Do it. And by doing that, you will help train yourself to get rid of your ego, to work just from love, to think about other rather than think about self. So if the guys do this, and they do whatever it takes to make their woman happy, then it's a very high probability that that woman who is treated that way will then turn around and want to do whatever she can to make her man happy, because this is what she's always dreamed about, you know, a total commitment to her, that she's, you know, that whatever she wants, whatever makes her happy, that's what her man will try to do for her. She will try to do whatever she can for that man. So it works out very well. They both end up then moving toward love and letting go of ego. So you end up then with a relationship more love-based and less need-based, and that is a much more wonderful relationship. It's a much more fulfilling and happy relationship than one that's a need-based contract. The best you can come away on a need-based contract is that you're still friends after some years. That's kind of the high point, is if you're still friends. With a love-based relationship, it's not a contract. You treat each other trying to do what makes the other one happy. But it starts with the guys. The guys need to start this first. And then, as the women feel that the guys aren't just making it up, they're not just trying, it's not an intellectual process, but they truly are coming from a place of love where they care enough to just want to make her happy, then they will start growing in the same way to make him happy. So why do the men have to start it? Well, partly what we just said. The women are in a male-dominant society. Making the guy happy, everything he wants, whatever it is he wants, you try to do that, the guy will probably just kick back and say, oh, this is great. Why would I want to make any changes? Everything's exactly the way I want it. So he wouldn't have that same
motivation,
that same drive. His genetic programming isn't going to drive him to, oh, I need to, do the same and make everything the way she wants it. I need to, make her happy, because he'd already be happy, He doesn't think that way. But because the woman is primarily the relationship person, she does think that way. This total commitment is what she's always dreamed of having. She's not going to let that go. She's not going to let some other lady come in and take that guy away from her. She's going to be very loving back, because that's the way she's made. And it doesn't work so much the opposite direction. So there's a lot of reasons why it works better for the guy to lead it. But now the guy can't lead it from his intellect. It's not about pretending, okay, I'm gonna pretend that she's important, for the next couple of months and see what happens, see if I get something good out of it. That's just same old ego. I'm now playing a trick. I'm trying to manipulate somebody. I'll do this to get her to do that. That's not the point at all. It has to be let go of that fear, let go of that ego, and care more about your woman than about yourself. And let your own needs and wants go. That's your ego. Let that ego go. Just exist to please and to serve her. So that was where we started. And now if you look at it the other way, yes, the woman could start it, but if her man isn't ready to go there, it's not going to work very well, and she's going to end up frustrated, and now they'll be further apart. So if you can get your man to get there to where he wants to grow, he wants to become love, he wants higher quality of consciousness, then that's a great way to do it, because it brings instant rewards in your relationship.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating. I think the more we look at this, the more we think about it. I mean, it's really all about, moving us out of fear, having us raise our consciousness. And as much as people, this is, controversial, and it's making people kind of go crazy. I mean, this is what it takes. And, in every relationship, whether it's male and female or whether it's two men or two women, there's always going to be a male dominant person and a female dominant person. And that's the way it will always be. So regardless of what the actual sex is, there's still the dominance. But, I think it's just fascinating. I think all of this is fascinating. I'm sure we will continue more conversations on it. So thank you again, Tom, for bringing up this very interesting conversation. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. To find out more about Tom, go to his website, mybigtoe.com, or hyphens in between. So it's my-big-toe.com. Google his name on YouTube. You can find out lots of information. There's also, if you go to his site, there's a forum. So there's lots and lots of information. All right. You've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.